We continue our learning. Li Nishma Mas David ben Menachem Rishon Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Leo. We are in Yevamos Perek Gimel Mishnah Test. Shlosha Achin Nisuin Shlosh Nachrios. You have three brothers and they're married to three women. They are not sisters. They're not related at all. But these are three brothers. So if you look at the picture, we have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are brothers. Reuven's married to Leah. Shimon's married to Chana. Levi's married to Bracha. Leah, Chana, and Bracha are not related at all. What happened here? Umeis achad mehem. One of the brothers died. So let's say Reuven died, and now Leah is up for Yibum. So the Mishnah says, V'asa bahasheni mamar. And Shimon begins the Yibum process. He does the Kiddushin, the Mamar, the Yibum Durabanan. He begins the process with Leah, but does not. Now, he could perform full Yibum with her. Wouldn't be a problem. He's married to Chana. Chana, Leah, not sisters. He could do Yibum with Leah, and everything would be fine. Here, though, he only did Mamar. He began the process, and then he dies. Vames. And now he dies. So now both Leah, who was the wife of Reuven, and Chana, who's the wife of Shimon, and Leah, who was the partial wife of Shimon as well, Leah and Chana fall to Levi for Yibum. So what happens? So can Levi perform Yibum on both, on one, on what do you do? Chalitza says the Mishnah, Hare Elu Chotos Lo Misyamos. The halacha is that these widows have Chalitza with Levi and with who's still alive, but cannot be taken in Yibum. Why not? Shenamar. The Pasuk says, Umeis Achad Mehem. One of the brothers dies. The Pasuk says, Abashas Kiseitse, Yivama Yavo Aleha. The Yavam will come upon her. She'aleha Zikas Yavam Achad. I learned from this pasuk that Yibum is performed only with a widow, with an almana, who has a Zika, a Yibum bond from one Yavam, but not where there's a widow and almana who has a Yibum bond from two Yavams. Now, why would that be the case here? Well, we'll see. Since the Leah, who's the mom or wife of Shimon, never fully married Shimon. So the Zika, there's still a Zika from the first brother, as Leah falls to Levi. Levi is one of the brothers. So when Reuven passed away, Leah was connected to Levi as well. And Shimon didn't remove that connection completely because he didn't perform a full Yibum. So that Zika is still there from Reuven. But Shimon also was married to Leah partially. So there's a little bit of a Zika from Shimon also. Now that Shimon died, Leah was connected to Shimon too. So Levi now has, Leah falls to him. And Leah has a Zika from Reuven and a Zika from Shimon, a bond from both of them. And we learn from this pasuk that it sounds like if there's a Zika from two Yavam, from two brothers, so then their Yibam is not performed. And therefore, since the Yavama bound to the third brother with Yibum bonds from the two brothers, she therefore can't have Yibum and eats Chalitza instead. And what about the Tzara, meaning Chana, Leah and Chana fall to Levi? So the thing is, her Chalitza can't exempt the co-wife, the Tzara, either, because she's only partially her Tzara, because Shimon was fully married to Chana. But Shimon was only partially married to Leah. So doing anything, any chalitza, anything done to Leah is not going to help Chana. So Chana needs her own chalitza. So that is, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara explains that this is really not a din d'oraisa at all. Yes, it's true, the Mishnah quotes a pasuk, but nonetheless, this is an asmachta. This is really a din d'rabbanan, and on a d'oraisa level, really, there should be no problem with having Yibum on both of them, because Mamar, as we know, doesn't really accomplish anything. So on a d'oraisa level, what's the halacha? So Leah needs Yibum, and Leah and Chana both fall to Levi. Leah was really never married to Shimon, so it's not that Leah has a connection to Shimon. Leah is connected to Reuven. So Leah falls to Yibum, to Levi from Reuven, and Chana fell to Yibum to Levi from Shimon. So each one should probably have Yibum. Nonetheless, because the Mamar makes it look like both of the Almanos were married to the second brother, to Shimon, if we would allow Levi to perform Yibum with both of these women, with both Leah and Chana. So people would think the following, or let's say give Chalitza to one and perform Yibam with the other. People would think, oh, that's what we do all the time. When you have two women, even when two women are really the almanos of the same brother, people would think that that would be allowed, because they would think that that's what's happening here. They're both almanos of Shimon, when they're really not. It's really Midoraisa, Leah is an almano of Reuven, and Chana is an almano of Shimon, and really both should be able to have Yibam. But nonetheless, because they look like they're both the wives of Shimon, and in such a case where you have two wives of the same brother, we do not do Yibam on both of them. We based on the Pasuk, Lo Yivneh, and nor do we have Chalitza done in Yibam done with the other. Because it says, Asher Lo Yivneh Beis Achiv, Bayis Echad, Ubona, you only build one house and not two. And that we'll learn in the fourth parak in the 11th Mishnah. So therefore, the Rabbanan made a Gzeira here, made a Takana, that Levi should do Chalitza with both. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Miyabim Le'ezo Sheyirtsa V'choletz L'Shnei. Rabbi Shimon says, no, Levi, the living brother, can perform Yibam with whichever woman he wants, either with Leah or with Chana, either one of these wives that fell from Shimon, Leah being the one that had Mamar with Shimon, Chana being Shimon's real wife. And the Choletz Lashnia, and then perform Chalitza with the other one. So let's say he did Yibam with Leah, then he'll perform Chalitza with Chana. And he did, if Levi did Yibam with Chana, he'll perform Chalitza to Leah. Why is that okay? So Rabbi Shimon holds that Mamar is one extreme or the other. It certainly does not, as we've been saying so long, give a partial marriage. It does not do that. He says he's not sure what it does. Either it's a full marriage or it's zero, or it's nothing at all. If it's a full marriage, so then that means Shimon was really married to Leah, and therefore married to both Leah and to Chana, and the third brother can perform Yibum with one, and the other one is going to be free. That's the halacha. You have two women to the same brother, you perform Yibum with one, or Chalitz with one, and the other one is free to go completely because it's only Bais Echad, that you're a bona. So if it does not, but let's say Mamar doesn't cause any marriage at all, which is the opposite extreme. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's either full or it's nothing or it's zero. Then each brother was married to one widow, right? That means Reuven was married to Leah. Mamar did nothing. Shimon doing Mamar to Leah did zero. And therefore Reuven Zika to Leah is there and Shimon Zika to Chana is there. Both Leah falls to Levi from Reuven and Chana falls to Levi from Shimon. So then the third brother can perform Yibam really with both widows. So either way, he certainly could perform Yibam with one of them, and the other one would require Chalitza. Now, the Mishnah gives another case, Shnei Achim. You have two brothers, Nisuin L'Shtei Achayos, married to two sisters. This is the diagram below. You have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven's married to Leah. Shimon's married to Rachel. Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Leah and Rachel are sisters. Umeis Achamehem, and one of the brothers dies. So let's say you see number one there. Reuven dies. And then Va'achar Kach Mesa Ishto Shel Sheni. And then the wife of the second brother, the wife of Shimon, dies. That means Rachel dies. So at this, what happens at this point, the widow of the first brother, which is Leah, is not forbidden to Shimon anymore as Achos Ishto, since you're allowed to marry your wife's sister after the wife dies. So since Rachel dies, so there shouldn't be a problem anymore with Leah. But the problem was that when Reuven died, Rachel was still alive, and Leah was usher to him as Achos Ishto. So what's the halacha here? Says the Mishnah, Ahrezo Asura. The widow of the first brother, Leah, is forbidden to Shimon forever, even though she's no longer an Everetim. She's not Achos Ishto anymore because Rachel passed away. So Leah should be okay. The answer is no. Hol v'nestra alav sha achas. Since she was usher to him for Yibam at one point, at the moment that Reuven died, because Leah was still Achos Ishto, so therefore she remains usher to him forever. Perek Gimel Mishnah Yud. Shnayim shekichtu shtei nashim. Here you have a case where you have two men and they gave kiddushin only to two women. That's all they did. The kiddush only erusin, only the first stage, no chuppah just yet. And what happened? V'shas knisa san lachuppah, the time when they entered the chuppah, hechalifu es shel zeh lazeh, v'es shel zeh lazeh. what happened was, when it was time to have chuppah, whatever, zichud, chuppah, whatever it is, time to have the nisuin. So what happened? They confused one another. They exchanged this one to that one, and that one to this one. The wives were mistakenly switched, and each couple then had had relations. And this, of course, this is nus, this is adultery, this is an aishas, so this is a problem. It's aishas ish, many other things here. We have serious problems here. So now the Mishnah says, Hare elu chayavim mishum aishas ish. So right now, the Issur we're talking about, we're going to add on other Issurim potentially, but right now, there's no relationship between, these are not brothers, so these are not sisters, so there's only an Issur of Eishes Ish living with another man's wife. And the halacha is that if we have potentially Issurim like this, so the halacha is that you have to bring a Karbon Chatas. That's where we have. If you have where there's an Isser Kares involved, so then if it's done Bishogig, which is this case, it was a mistake, so then you have to bring a Karbon Chatas. So that's Mishnah says, Hare Elu Chayavin Mishum Eishes Ish, and that's the halacha. Now, they're all Chayav. Each four of those people have to bring a Karbon Chatas. Hayu Achin, let's say they were brothers, the two men who committed this adultery. They did it intentionally, though, but each of them, they were also brothers. So then, Mishum Eishes Ach. So then there's another prohibition. They're each obligated to bring a second Karbon Chatas because they violated Isser of Eishes Ach. It's not only an Eishes Ish, but now this is his brother's wife. V'imayu Achayos, let's say these women were sisters. So Nemishum Isha Elachosa. So then is an additional Karbon Chatas that has to be brought for violating the Isser of living with one wife's sister. Vim Hayu Nidos, and if the two women were Nida at that time, which is also an Isser Kares, Mishum Nidid after being another Karbon Chatas, that's a fourth Karbon Chatas for the sin of living with a Nida. And it's important to know before we conclude the Mishnah that this is, there's the general question, or why should it be extra Karbon Chatas? There's a general rule of Ein Isser Chalal Isser. When you have one Isser, it's already in effect, so then it doesn't add, you can't add another one. So the answer is because there are exceptions to that rule. You have, let's say the Isurim take effect simultaneously. Or let's say the later Isser is more, it is more comprehensive than the next one. It affects a large wider range of people. That's what we call an Isser Mosif, or maybe more objects it affects. That's what we call an Isser Kolel. So in our Mishnah, most of these cases are an Isser Mosif. So take, for example, when the second brother is Mekadish, the second sister, let's start from the beginning. We have the Isser of an Eishes Ish. Very nice. And then it's a brother's wife. So, and these two prohibitions happen at the same time. They're both going to take effect. When the second brother now is Mekadesh, the second sister, so there's a new Isser against the first sister, and that's the wife's sister. That's Achos Ishto. So that now, so what does that add? So the wife's sister Isser prohibits him not only to the first sister, but there may be other sisters who are permitted to him, and now they're going to be usher to him. So therefore, that takes effect. Since it takes effect, there are other people involved. It takes effect on other people as well. So that will therefore can take effect on this sister as well. So you can add on, even though it was an Eishes Ish already, an Eishes Ach already, but we can add these things on. And the same thing when it comes to Anida, this may be the difference between an Isser Kolel and Isser Mosif, we won't discuss here. But when there are additional, if something is added, take effect, take a case of Anida. So Anida there is usher it to many other people as well besides this person. So that's an isser mosif, and therefore that in this such a case we don't say isser chalal isser, and we don't say ein isser chalal isser. Here one isser can take effect on another one because it's more comprehensive. It adds more people are affected by that isser. Like Anita is a great example. It's it affects more people now cannot live with this woman, and therefore that isser nido will take effect on the person as well, on these men, even though this woman, who is a Nida, was already usher to him for other reasons. Since Nida adds something additional, because a lot of other people are affected by that as well, so therefore, it's going to be added as well as an Isser, and you have to bring a Karban Chatzis for that as well. Then the Mishnah says, U'mafrishin oson shlosha chadashim, and we separate the two women who are intimate with these men, with the wrong husband, whatever it is, we separate them for 3 months. Why? Shema Mubarosen, because it's possible they became pregnant by the other husband, and we'd like to know if it's true. So then we need to know if the child is a mamzer. And that would be right. Now, this havchana, this concept of separating the husband and wife, we do that all the time. Any divorce or widow has to refrain from remarrying for a period of 3 months to identify who the father is. But here, we're talking about whether the child is legitimate or not. That obviously would be very important if we wait 3 months. Vima yukitanos. And if, let's say, they were kitanos, they were minors, so they're not able to have children. Shenon ruyos leleid, machzinos amiyad. So then they can return to the rightful husband right away. We're not afraid that they're pregnant. V'mayu kohanos nifsilu minakohuna. And if they were the daughters of kohanim, the two women were the daughters of, let's say, of a kohen, so they can not. They're now disqualified from ever eating truma. Now we have to keep in mind, if she was the wife of a kohen in this case, so she, it's not only that truma would be usher, she wouldn't be able to remain with her husband, being involved in, even by mistake, even in case of ones or whatever it is, she can't return to her husband who's a kohen. But the idea of being pustled from kahuna means that the women are disqualified from eating their father's truma because of this adultery, even though it was b'shogeg. Truma could only be eaten by kohanim and their wives and the children. The kohen's daughter marries a non-kohen, a labor Yisrael, so then she can't eat truma. Ah, but she could go back to eating truma if, let's say, she doesn't have any children and the husband dies or divorces her. But if she was involved in any having relations, which are, even if it's a bonus, which were usher, she's disqualified from eating truma. And these women obviously were involved in relations which was usher to someone out there, the other one's husband. So they're forever prohibited from eating truma, even if they don't have any children and their husbands die, divorce them. They can never, nor can obviously they marry a kohen after this story as well.